Thank you. Today's conference is being recorded. If anyone has objections, you may disconnect. You may begin.
Thank you, Rebecca. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everyone, and welcome to the IGO-INGO Working Group meeting on Thursday, 7 November at 14 UTC. On the call today, we have Jim Bykoff, David Hisley, Claudia McMaster-Tamarit, Osvaldo Novoa, Christopher Rassi, Thomas Rickett, and Griffin Barnett. We have apologies from Wolfgang Kleinwachter and Chuck Gomes. And from staff, we have Marika Connings, Barry Cobb, Mary Wong, and myself, Julia Chavardin. May I please remind all participants to please state your names before speaking for transcript purposes. Thank you, and over to you, Thomas.
Thank you very much, Julia. My name is Thomas Rickert, and I'm chairing this working group. And as I do in every call, first thing I'm going to ask you is whether you have any suggestions to amend the agenda or whether there are updates to statements of interest. Hearing and reading none, I should add that it would have been surprised that your statements of interest have changed in the last, what is it, less than 20 hours or less than 12 hours. So it's not been too long ago since we last spoke. You will remember that we concluded our call yesterday with the invitation and the offer for those of you that would like to discuss documents further or actually have questions answered that that you might have yourself or that have arisen in the groups that you're working with or that you're representing. So I guess that before we start looking into the report itself, I would like to give you the opportunity to actually phrase those questions or share concerns or views with me to ensure that we get these addressed first thing before we talk about the latest amendments to the report. Okay, I'm hearing and seeing none. Let me ask you an additional question, and that is whether you can foresee any difficulties to sufficiently deliberate the latest versions of the documents with your respective groups. In other words, do you envisage any difficulties to be ready to discuss and vote on what we're doing in Buenos Aires? Again, I'm hearing and reading no such concerns or requests for more information. Should something arise during this call or tomorrow's call, please do share that with the whole group or contact me individually if you want to. I guess it's of paramount importance for us in trying our best to ensure that this motion goes before the council in Buenos Aires, that should you envisage any difficulties with your groups, that you let us know at your earliest convenience so that we can try and help overcome difficulties. Okay, and with this, I guess we can move to the second agenda item, which I think is twofold. As we discussed yesterday, it's not only the report, but we should also take a look at the draft motion that Mary kindly prepared and amended overnight. Or, you know, it might not be overnight in your time zone, actually. So, and with this, I'd like to hand over and give the floor to Barry to guide you through the latest updates.
Thank you, Thomas. This is Barry. So to carry on with what Thomas had mentioned, I guess I'll first and foremost recap the email that I sent out to the team last night. It included a series of attachments, two of which were based on the final report itself. The first was the Word document that had the red line with all the recent changes, as well as a clean version of the PDF to assist in easier reading. And it also included what will be supplement attachments for each of the minority positions that were included in the final report version that we have now. And I'd like to draw members' attention to the fact that per our call yesterday, we agreed that we would extract the minority position statements out of the final report so that we can meet the 10 November deadline for documents and motions to the GNSO Council. And the other benefit to that would allow stakeholders to submit a revision to their current minority position statement and or submit a new position statement. And we've established a deadline for next Friday at 19 UTC to have those minority positions included. And essentially I'll take the format that I've done now, which is essentially a cover page and then the minority statement below that. And each one of those will be an individual PDF attachment to the final report. Just a little bit of probably detail that's boring to most, but I'm hopeful that sometime Saturday I will send an email with just the final report and the draft motion to the GNSO Council to make sure that we easily meet the 10 November deadline. So I plan to send that on the 9th of November. Then on Monday of next week, which is actually the 11th, I'll be able to submit the PDF versions of our final documents to the web admin so that we can get them all published within their dedicated location on the GNSO website. And then from there, as we receive the additional minority position statement, then I can add them with the appropriate links to the web page itself. The other thing before we kind of go back into the final report itself is I also included the latest version of the comment review tool that included the updates and actions as we discussed in the meeting yesterday. If any members see any additional edits or suggested changes, please send those to the list as well, and I'll get that updated. And as a reminder, that as well as our consensus call document will be included as supplements as well to assist the reader in more specific positions with amongst the stakeholders within the working group. And then, as Thomas mentioned, after we review through the report, we'll kind of go over the resolution, the draft resolution as well. So regarding the final report within its current version, essentially, you know, the two major changes that occurred between yesterday and today is that, as I mentioned, the minority positions were removed out of this report, but then secondarily, we did adjust the recommendation tables per the discussion yesterday. I think primarily there was one strong support but significant opposition recommendation that was included in the unsupported section, and I believe that was for the INGOs, and I did float that up to the recommendation tables for the INGOs. So in particular, I'll draw members' attention. I won't go through any of the specific red lines, but those can be reviewed by yourself in detail. Really, the only thing that is to be highlighted are essentially some comments that I have out on to the right. Again, we did talk yesterday about trying to get a definitive list for the Red Cross, Red Crescent Society, and hopefully Stefan will send that to the list so that I can include that as an appendix to this report. And then moving, you know, we didn't have any updates for the IOC, and for the IGOs, I believe we were covered for all of the recommendations that contain consensus. And I this is one that I that was floated back to the top, which is for the IGOs, which was making sure that the exact match acronym protections, the strong support, but significant opposition recommendation was listed there. And then finally, I think just in terms of call out for the working group, kind of as we discussed yesterday, the first recommendation for the INGOs, I think we agreed yesterday, and Thomas, correct me if I'm wrong, that the way the current levels of support are depicted in the report will likely remain the same, which, again, the first one for exact match school name is Scope 1 identifiers is labeled as consensus. However, the BC's public comment submission didn't support that recommendation in the light of that current objection processes and procedures for the GTLD program they believe are sufficient and therefore didn't warrant the reservation of these names at the top level. And then secondarily, the one recommendation that wasn't included in this matrix does now show, and that was with respect to the Scope 2 identifiers for INGOs, which is the general consultative list allowed. The recommendation, you can see how confusing this gets. The recommendation for the INGOs to enter into the clearinghouse was and already there. And what I did forget to mention is the Sunrise recommendation that did have strong support but significant opposition. That is what I floated back up across the organization. So I won't scroll to make reference to it, but for the Red Cross, Red Crescent, there was a specific recommendation added with strong support but significant opposition for Sunrise access, as well as for the IGOs and the INGOs, which is what you see in the AC screen here. And just for clarity's sake, that was a general recommendation, it was a proposal that was in the unsupported proposals section that did have strong support but significant opposition. It was only in the general sense, and with this version, I extracted that out across the three organizations that I mentioned. And so each one is listed for each organization, but again, still strong support but significant opposition. And I think one other change of note, within each of the consensus level designations for the recommendations, it's agreed upon by the working group to include those stakeholders that didn't support a particular recommendation. I did get some additional feedback amongst staff, and it wasn't very clear. There were a few comments that were submitted by the NCSG that the NCSG would support a particular recommendation, but they also mentioned that there was significant opposition within their stakeholder group, and I tried to clarify that a little bit, that by adding within that there was opposition within their stakeholder group, but overall that the stakeholder group did support the recommendation, just to put a little bit more clarity around those particular statements. I think the only other thing that I'll draw working group members' attention to is, again, in the background section, I did update that particular section with the latest events that have occurred, which included the working group submitting a public comment period for the draft final report that included our proposed recommendations and the consensus level. And then I also included the two activities that have occurred more recently. And again, that was the 2 October letter from the NGPC to the GAC about a potential proposal for the IGOs and with regards to acronyms, as well as the IGO coalition response to the GAC on that proposal. So that section now includes the language as well as links to the letters that were sent amongst those groups. So I think in general that was the primary changes to this version. I don't really have anything more to present, so I'll turn it back over to Thomas if there's any additional questions or any other suggested changes.
Thanks very much, Barry. And the question is for the group to be answered, whether you have more questions. As far as I'm concerned, I guess all the to-dos after yesterday's call have been worked on. The Alex statements have been consolidated. They did not have impact on the consensus level. So the question is really to you whether you have more questions with respect to the report. And if not, I guess we can move straight to the draft resolution, which Barry.
I'm sorry, Thomas. Just one more thing to note. I really would appreciate feedback from the working group members, especially regarding, I think this is, at least for me, is the biggest report I've ever come across with the number of footnotes that we have. And so I'd really appreciate any feedback on the content of the footnotes to make sure that any of the footnotes and the statements there make sense to you, and if there are any improvements in the language, just to make them a little bit more clear, that would definitely be helpful as well. So, thank you.
Thanks, Barry. So maybe between today's and tomorrow's call, you can all take a more thorough look at the fine print and the footnotes, and share with Barry whether you have any improvements. But so far, I take your silence as agreement with the report as it stands.
Tom,
Stefan.
Yes, this is Stefan Hankins and Barry. Stefan Hankins, Red Cross, Red Crescent, ICRC. Yes, Thomas, we will submit by end of today. Chris and I, we will submit a few comments. One of them is we'll submit the revised minority statement of the Red Cross Red Crescent to be inserted on pages 36, 37. So we will send this by today. We will also be sharing with the group, this list that was requested of the names of the respective components of the Red Cross Red Crescent movement. So we will be able to send that also today. And there was just one small remark with regard to the footnotes, which we will also send, but we can mention it now, which is in the footnotes that are below the recommendations for the respective organizations. There is a reference to the relevant pages on which the minority statements are found, and we were wondering whether those footnotes would not also include a reference to the relevant pages on which the summary of the respective international organizations' positions are found. This is somewhere else in the report. It's another place in the report, and in a sense, I think, those descriptions of the positions of the organizations are complementary to the minority position, and we didn't necessarily, repeat the whole thing once more. So I think it might be helpful in the footnotes under the recommendations for the respective organizations or groups of organizations to add also the reference to the positions. That is all. Thank you very much.
Thanks very much, Stefan. And first of all, thank you for sharing the complete list with us so that it can be added to the report. As far as the minority statement is concerned, please do remember that we've discussed yesterday that the minority reports would be placed outside of the report. They would be made reference to, but they would be extra PDFs. So it doesn't do any harm if you do this today, but certainly earlier is better than later. And then I'm sure that Barry will take care of appropriately linking to the minority state. Barry, do you have any idea with respect to the last point that Stefan mentioned, i.e. the general position?
No, your response was right on. You know, definitely earlier the better, and we'll make sure to have that updated. And thank you for pointing out the footnote in regards to pointing to the minority positions. I do need to update to reflect that there'll be supplement attachments instead of a recommendation section. So I'll make sure to make those changes. And so thank you for your feedback.
But Barry, wouldn't it make sense maybe for Stefan to include the additional position paper that he alluded to in the minority statement so that we have their position in one place, in one document?
Yes.
So, Stefan, if you could please amalgamate the two documents, the general position and the minority statement, into one minority position document, I guess that would be helpful and make it easier for the reader to grasp your position as a group.
May I respond to that? But and now I can't find on the page what they are called. These summary of international organizations' positions, they will remain within the report.
I'm sorry, I was confused. This is Barry. Yes, there is a I think a community feedback section, which is section 6, that outlines the feedback and the overall position. Those will remain in the final report, and only the minority positions will be included as supplements. So you're correct, Stefan.
Right. Thank you. So what we will do is we will, in the minority statement, then, you know, possibly include a reference to the to those paragraphs within the core of the report which detail the positions.
Excellent.
Thank you very much.
That's fine. Thank you.
Great. Now, any further comment on the report? Hearing and reading none. I guess that one comment written in the chat by Griffin sort of allows us for a smooth transition of our discussion to the draft motion. And his question, for those who are just on audio, he was asking whether the consensus against recommendations in section 3.5 of the report should be placed elsewhere. And I guess that's a good opportunity to hand over to Mary and explain the rationale for that.
Hi, Thomas, and hi, everybody. Thank you. As I responded to Griffin in the chat, this particular section has changed somewhat, and Barry can speak better to it, in the sense that on the last working group yesterday, there were some very strong views expressed by a number of members that it really was a consensus against. So while the actual recommendation as phrased and as sent out for public comment did not get support, there was support for the contrary proposition. So the discussion was about how best to capture that. And that's why you now see it in 3.5. And I think Barry just put it back on the screen. In terms of the draft motion, what we've also done is, well, a couple of things. First is only the consensus recommendation. So leaving aside consensus against, only the consensus recommendations have been specified in the resolve clauses. And there is, this is the second thing, there is a separate resolve clause that we added that deals with the consensus against proposals. So making it clear that this is not a consensus recommendation as such, but it's a consensus against a particular proposal. So Thomas, hopefully that helps. What you're seeing on the screen here is a clean version of the document that was sent back by Jim and the rest of the IOC team yesterday evening. Thanks again very much, Jim and everyone. Stefan, I don't know if the Red Cross is intending to send its comments. I know you mentioned that yesterday on the call. And Claudia, I'm very glad that you're on the call as well, because one of the things that we changed from the first version you saw to the one I sent and what is now in Jim's version is that we have rephrased some of the INGO recommendations. So we want to be very certain that what we have done in both the whereas and resolve clauses, but particularly the resolve clauses, accurately captures the recommendations and specifically from each of your group's point of view that it is accurate. And also, of course, that we haven't left anything out. The other resolve clauses deal with the issue report for the UDRP and the URS, for example, and a request that the Standing Committee for Improvement looks at the consensus level wording. So very specific things like that. There is also a resolve clause that deals with the recommendations for incumbent or existing registries that we asked Chuck to look at. And I think finally, we have a recommendation on the implementation review team that specifically highlights, for the moment, the principles of implementation that are in the report. And what we'll add is also a mention of the exception procedures to be designed. That was from Wednesday's call. So before I open it up, I guess the final comment I would like to make on this is that I believe Chuck suggested that we might also want to add a resolve clause indicating, or at least highlighting, those recommendations that did not achieve consensus, but that achieved strong support, even with significant opposition. It is not in this draft, but we will add it once we have a sense of whether we are going to have any further suggested edits on this. So, Thomas, that's my spiel for now.
Thanks very much, Mary. And my question goes out to the group. Are there any more questions with respect to this draft resolution?
Thomas, it's Jim Bykoff.
Jim, please.
I received Mary's email last night on two clauses that she had observations on. I took a look at the Clause 14, and I agree that the INGOs were not specifically mentioned. And Class 12, I think she's also correct that well, it's certainly not expressly recommended. I felt it was implicit in the recommendation that that there would be a need to evaluate whether the temporary protections would be would be reviewed and made permanent in the final issues report. So I guess I don't really have that strong a feeling since we're talking about whereas clauses, but I felt the clause 12 was, there was that implicit, that implicit suggestion in that clause, whereas in 14, certainly there was no mention, even though it was acknowledged in another part of the resolution.
Thanks, Jim, and I'll let Mary answer that.
Thanks, Jim, and thanks, Thomas. So, Jim, I guess what we'll do is remove that new additional reference to INGO in whereas clause 14 to more accurately reflect what the board actually said, so thank you for that. On clause 12, I wonder whether, and for everybody else, we're talking about clause 12 that's here on the screen, that part that's between the dashes somewhere in the middle, where the proposed addition was including whether to extend the temporary protections already afforded to the RCRC and the IOC. Jim, my thought was maybe if we put something like including considering further protections for the RCRC and the IOC. I guess my concern really was with the word extend, because that could be interpreted a number of ways. And so I'm wondering if by my proposed wording that would accommodate the implicit acknowledgement that you and I both mentioned without, possibly raising questions as to what extend means. So in short, the proposal here for the words between the two dashes in Clause 12 is including considering further protections for the RCRC and the IOC. Again, I don't feel strongly about it either. It is a whereas clause.
Yeah, I think that's a good compromise, Mary. We can agree to that.
Okay, so I'll make that change.
Great. So, any further questions or remarks?
Thomas, this is Mary again.
Please, Mary.
So I'm really hoping that working group members will look particularly at the resolve clauses. Like I said, we do want to be accurate. And given that we are looking at a deadline of 10th November for submission to the council, I am also hoping that any comments, you don't have to send a red line markup. I know that everybody is busy and we're on a time crunch here. But if you could just even shoot me an email or an email to the working group saying I have concerns about X, I can try and take on board those concerns. I'd really like to, if possible, get any indication of, you know, concerns or comments, certainly before our call tomorrow, so that by close of business tomorrow, we can at least have a final draft that everybody can review and that we can submit to the council, if not before the 10th, certainly on the 10th.
Thanks, Mary, and I couldn't agree more. You will remember that earlier in this call, I also encouraged you to flag all issues you might have as early as you can so that we can hopefully address them sufficiently. More questions?
Thomas?
Stefan, please.
Yes, excuse me. This is Stefan Hankins, Red Cross, Red Crescent. Thank you very much, Mary, for all the work that was done on this. We will send in our message today, you know, some proposed revisions on language, you know, for the paragraphs that highlight the recommendations on the protections of the Red Cross, Red Crescent designations and the names. So we'll send that. There was a slight question that we had with Chris Rassi, which was, you know, whether the motion should not, you know, to some degree acknowledge, I'm sorry to come back to this, the minority statements, because in a sense, you know, the whole notion of submitting the minority statements is that, you know, to provide the GNSO council of the full picture, including, you know, the minority positions within the consensus. So I think we'll put this also as a small suggestion in our message and send this along as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Mary.
Thanks, Thomas, and thanks, Stefan, for that comment. I will look forward to receiving the email and have a draft or redraft of everything we discussed and taking on board your and Jim's team's edits by tomorrow, hopefully. With respect to the minority statement, I can't be 100% sure, but I don't believe that is normally done as part of the vote and resolution. So, but I do take your point that it may be important to reflect that there were some minority statements made particularly by organizations that could be impacted by these recommendations. And obviously, that's not just the RCRC, but the other groups as well. So one thing we could do is either in that last resolve clause or maybe adding a new resolve clause 21, and we can play with the wording, so that we highlight it for the council's attention, that we actually indicate that the draft, that the actual final report does include minority statements, including statements from organizations potentially impacted. Would that work for you?
This is a question to Stefan, or?
Yes.
Stefan Hankins. Yes, I think it would. It was a comment a little bit. This is one way of doing it. You know, another way would be to have you know, a small additional paragraph, you know, possibly in a paragraph two of the operative sections that would say, you know, the GNSO Council takes note of the minority statements presented by or on behalf of the respective organizations or groups of organizations, and which are highlighted in the final report. There was the suggestion that we would have had. But I think what Mary described would also be adequate. Thank you.
Thanks, Stefan. More comments, questions? Hearing and reading none, I think we can conclude this agenda item and move to the last agenda item, which is the confirmation of the next meeting, and that will take place tomorrow at the same time. And please do walk through the two documents in particular thoroughly to be able to flag any remaining concerns or requests for alteration during tomorrow's meeting so that we can then close this exercise. Okay, and unless you have further things to say, I'm virtually looking at ICANN staff, Barry and Mary in particular. Do you have anything to add, or can we close the call?
I think I'm good to go.
Okay, good. So thanks very much. So we can even finish this call early. Thanks for all your participation and your stamina to work on this. As Claudia mentioned before we started the recording, thanks, everybody, and talk to you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.